did. You made people stand up. That's really pretty. What is that from? Where did you get that? Oh, so I probably should have known it, but beautiful. There are a couple times there you sounded a little bit like Babs, I'm just saying. Good morning. Welcome to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Karen Rice, and I am the spiritual leader of this community, and I'm really happy to be here on this fresh, amazing, gorgeous Sunday morning. It was all I could do to not keep looking at the clouds this morning once the sun appeared. Beautiful day and nice, sweet way to wake up with that little thunderstorm. Did you have a thunderstorm at your house? I had a little thunder, some rain, and it's just perfect. I love living in the desert. It's so special. So we're going to have a talk today. It's a long overdue talk. We should have had this ages ago. That's because we're talking about being big for God, and that seems to be one of our, obviously, one of our little mottos here, and I want to talk to you about what that means today, and how we can use this idea of being big for God as a part of our spiritual practice. So we say that we are blessed, and when we become aware of those blessings, it enhances our experience of them. We say that we are inspired, and that inspiration is like the breath of life that has kissed us into being. And we also say that then when we recognize those truths, that we want to stand in this position of gratitude. So I liked very much how Clyde began the discussion this morning with that idea of gratitude. But when you put those all together, that's the way we can be big for God. And so I want to really look at a way in which we can see that as actually a part of our spiritual practice as we live in this world that has some beautiful divine order that is trying to reveal itself, and it's very chaotic. It looks like chaos, and I'm convinced it's order trying to express itself or emerge here for and with us. So I found a quote from Ernest Holmes, and it is from that. Am I a little loud today? No? I'm okay? All right. Yeah, see, that's the problem. You can please some of the people some of the time. I'm going to read you a quote from Ernest Holmes that comes from that book, Creative Mind, and it was published 100 years ago. And it's interesting, we're getting near the end of the year, and I'm sad that we'll be introducing a new theme in 2019, because I've had such a good time with looking at the relevance of this teaching 100 years after it was originally introduced. So in the book Creative Mind, Dr. Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of our philosophy, said these words: God governs the universe through great mental laws that operate from intelligence. This intelligence is so vast and the power so great that our human minds cannot even grasp it. That's where I'm saying that we are staggered by the bigness of all of that. All that we can hope for, he goes on to say, all that we can hope to do is to learn something in the way in which it works, and by then harmonizing ourselves with that something, we so align ourselves with spirit that our lives are then controlled by that greater harmony, that divine harmony. So one of the things I like to speak to each week is that that harmony already exists. There is some kind of a perfect order in the universe in spite of how chaotic it looks, and that's why I like that word, chaotic. That there's some way that life knows how to adapt itself to further establish more livingness, more aliveness. And everything we are invited to do is to find our place in that aliveness and to demonstrate it, to live our lives fully. So to be staggered by this bigness, which is sometimes too hard to even imagine because we're finite thinkers, spirituality invites us to expand that and look at this idea of that which is infinite. And so we are always then looking with reverence. This is what I think the word staggered means to me. It's like if I'm staggered, I'm struck by something. Sometimes it feels like it takes your breath away. It can be an aha moment. And sometimes it'll cause me to sort of lose my center of gravity because in this transition time, we are always looking to establish ourselves in a new center of gravity, one that will support us for where we're at now, because where I'm at now will not be where I'm at tomorrow. In fact, tomorrow I won't be at church at all, now that I think of it, it's my day off. And you know how that is. Life progresses so that we're never standing in the same place for very long. So as Holmes suggests that we find our way into that harmony, we're finding our way into a greater sense of order that we can't always see, but through learning to work with the way the spiritual laws unfold, learning to study them and apply them in our own lives, we can then begin to see that there is a sense of order and that we are always looking to find our way into that groove, into that sort of energetic vibration of holiness. Because the grace of God is always streaming into our lives. The givingness of God never ceases. So the goodness is always there to be revealed, and it can only be revealed through us as we open ourselves to experience the qualities of the divine. So blessed and inspired and grateful for all that is, that's what it means, to stand aligned, to recognize, to realize, and then to be grateful for that, and to be so grateful for it that you feel at that feeling level, you can feel that movement, that activity of thankfulness, that activity of grace within you. And nothing is more powerful than our ability to sense and feel that movement of life within us. So in order to be big for God, and I think this is important to revisit periodically, we have to have a bigger image of what God is. We have to stretch our ideas of all the spiritual truths that we study so that as we progress, we can have a deeper and deeper understanding of our relationship with all the divine matters and all things of spirit as we're living in this beautiful life. And every religion attempts to define God, to talk about spirituality. And you'll see as you visit different churches that we all have our own languaging around all of that. And so we're always looking, and this is what I would encourage you to do, look for the terms that spark in your own heart, that enliven you, that you most closely relate to in terms of what God is. And if we want to have an expansive idea of God, which we probably should every day, God should be a little bit bigger, a little more apparent, a little more real in our lives, bigger and bigger understanding, then we're part of this ongoing process of spiritual deepening. And I think that's what it's all about. We're just naming it to be big for God as a part of your spiritual practice. So it is really natural and normal, and you should be having experiences of being staggered by this new awareness of some things that unfold in your life that remind you of the presence of God right now. I swear we have this window, this high window, and as I'm walking toward the kitchen and the sun was just coming up, these bright fluffy clouds must have been in the light of the rising sun, and it really stops you where you're at. So you have this moment to give thanks and to appreciate that kind of beauty that we are very blessed to have here in the desert. So it's a good thing. It's reverence. It's awe. I never want to take those things for granted. I hope it always takes my breath away because it's that that way that we almost kind of gasp for air. Oh, look at that. And in that moment, you have had an experience of God witnessing beauty through your eyes and through your perspective. So the thing I do want to mention this morning is that often because we have so many lovely books to read, I like to read, we have so many fabulous teachers, we have different philosophies, and that it's easy for us to land somewhere and have a philosopher or a religious teacher be telling us things, and you know how they say the philosopher will speak to you of truth. But in order to have an experience of truth, we have to be open to just allow it to embody us, and so that we have that resonant feeling within our being. Or we say that the teacher is teaching you about the moon, and the teacher points to the moon. And we look, but the student easily gets distracted by seeing the finger that's pointing. And that's sometimes what happens to us when we follow a creed or a specific belief. I think it's important to be nurtured wherever we are spiritually fed. I think that spiritual worship is a very important part of humanity's understanding of life, of our connection to life and to each other. So what we're really talking about here is this experience of oneness. See, that's what makes every faith has a mystical thread in it. And what makes this teaching, the science of mind or religious science or even new thought, what makes us a mystical teaching is that we have that understanding and that study of oneness. And oneness is, as I often say, is not something I can teach you. I can only bait you to be interested in having that experience of oneness with life, with each other, and ultimately with spirit itself. So, real learning is beyond the teaching, and real learning is beyond the teacher. In fact, that means real learning is beyond anything I could say, right? It's just an invitation for you to be excited about the kinds of things that I desire, and I know you desire to experience in your own lives. Thich Nhat Hanh spoke to that finger in the moon and said, "The teaching is merely a vehicle to describe truth. Do not mistake it for the truth itself. A finger pointing at the moon is not the moon." In Zen, they would say, the finger is not the object of the study. You know, don't look at me, I ain't the moon, right? So you want to have that experience on your own. It's something beyond me. And in spiritual ideas, and I think especially when we feel staggered by that bigness of God, we can sit and, did you ever do this? Do you ever just sit and kind of trip yourself out? You're pondering, you know, what is God? You can get so lost in pondering that. But the secret is to be expansive, to be teachable, to not think that we have it all figured out. And that is not a goal for us to figure it out. The goal for us is to live every day. This planet is like our laboratory for those experiments. And so it's no wonder that some of our relationships feel bumpy, because we move through those bumps in order to find a better way of meeting together with people and growing our own souls and in growing in our togetherness as well. I think that, speaking of will, that statement, "Thy will be done," that biblical passage that says, "Thy will be done," for me, it's all right there in those words. How do I align my life to this idea of God's idea for my life, and therefore have an experience that God would invite me to have that's not just me seeking something for me? "Thy will be done" is always going to be greater, larger, more spectacular than anything you could imagine. And that's where it's powerful. Let me hear an amen. Amen. Yeah, you're far too quiet today. Far too quiet today. We need Reverend Cheryl to get off that ship and get herself back in here. She's on a long cruise. She's been on a great holiday for almost a month now. So, so we'll have that spirit back in the house pretty soon. Amen. Oh, so the thing about thy will be done is that a lot of times we fear that God's will for us will be bigger than something we think we are capable of. But God's will for you would never be something that you're not capable of. You know, it's not about Spirit wanting you to move to Africa and get involved in some missionary and teach children to, I mean, it might be, but likely for most of us, that's not God's will for our lives. And so I think we spoke to this beautifully last week, that God is here to have the pleasure of experiencing life through us and as us. And therefore, we want to be doggone sure we are giving God a good time in the way that we live our life. Thank you, amen. So you can always accomplish whatever that is. In fact, I believe that whatever those little desires, those little wishes, those little dreams that we have, I believe we are capable of accomplishing any of those things we can imagine, because otherwise I don't think we could imagine it. And it's the way that we understand that spiritual law works as we plant these seeds, and then magnificent changes occur in the unfolding of our living. So, my job, you pay me to stand up here every week and remind you how worthy you are. To remind you how loved you are. And to remind you, like last week's conversation was, it's the Father's good will to give you all the gifts of the kingdom. Your job is just to receive. To be open, to believe that it's possible, that there is this goodness in the universe, this goodness that as much as we desire our goodness, it desires us. Amen. That's right. Staggered by goodness we are. So, or hallelujah, yes. See, in a moment of awe, in that moment where we're staggered by bigness, I think that we stretch our consciousness. We're able to expand what we believe and what's possible then, and what's the pure potentiality for our living. And so that's something that we always want to do, because we're always able to grow in wisdom. We're always able to grow in a deeper understanding. I'm inviting you to yearn for apparently it's a secret, an increased sense of intimacy with the divine. You know, to really feel that closeness, to recognize that closer than the breath. You know, to just get that we are never alone. And so the Dalai Lama says that when we're looking to have a greater spiritual understanding of things, the Dalai Lama says that we need to learn to live in the intersection of the sacred and the secular. We need to learn to live in that middle place, the intersection of the sacred and the secular. You know what that means? I mean, it's really just saying that all life is holy. There is no place where God is not. And when we learn to live in that place from that perspective, then everything indeed becomes divine. Sacredness is a practice of wholeness and awareness, and it's a way we can learn to approach our life, a way we can go out every day to meet the world. Everything we learn in terms of spiritual education, everything we learn is rooted in just a few things. It's openness. How do we soften our lives and open our minds and open our hearts, so that we lessen our judgments? It's about attentiveness, being conscious, and aware of this glorious life that is everywhere, gifting us with beauty and goodness. It is about being open and being sensitive to that experience of oneness with God. Parker Palmer, one of my really dear favorite authors, I learned of Parker Palmer when I was in ministry school. He says this: the highest form of love is intimacy that does not annihilate difference. The highest form of love is intimacy that does not annihilate differences. I think that's what we're all trying to learn right now. I think that's why things look so bothered sometimes. It's another way of understanding our oneness, another way of understanding our connectedness, this great web of life in which I move over here on the web and it vibrates all across the web. It's the way that we are learning the necessity of that connection we all have together. So it's about life. It's about wholeness. It's about understanding perfection from a divine point of view. And the more we appreciate our connection, that interrelationship of all things, the more we are able to harmonize with it. And I think that's key. So that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about being big for God, is that you begin to recognize that movement of life inside of you. Wow, look at these blessings. Oh my goodness, I feel so uplifted and inspired. And to know that that's life breathing you when you feel that. And then to be so grateful for it, that it just changes every cell in your body, the working of all your organs, and everything comes into harmony with that good so that we are more open to receive it. Yes, amen. It's a big amen, truly. Joseph Campbell said these glorious words. This is very important to me because I have a passion for life and for living on this planet Earth. Joseph Campbell said, in loving the spiritual, you must not despise the earthly. In loving their spiritual life, that doesn't mean that we do away with our earthly living. It means that we put a different focus on how we live, that we recognize right where we are, God is, that every encounter we have is a holy encounter. It's a big amen. And so we don't want to miss our humanity to be more spiritual. Our humanity is a gift. And so there is so much to be grateful for. There's so much to the great teacher telling us to love one another and to forgive each other. Because it's through those sort of shenanigans, the way we bump up against each other, that we now have an opportunity to practice forgiveness and to practice love at a higher level, to harmonize ourselves again to that higher vibration, to that divine vibration. And you know what that means? It means that it's not a bad thing to feel each other's pain. You know, we so many of us have spent our entire lives looking to live without suffering, and we get so upset when somebody is in a bad mood in our life or you hear the negativity around you in the world. But what we're doing is because we aren't dealing with what's inside of us, we're seeing it everywhere we look outside of us. And so the whole point of pain is that it's a blessing. What if, I mean, maybe, I don't know that I'm right, but what if it's a blessing to bring us together? Isn't that what we see when a disaster strikes and people start helping each other? Isn't that what we see when there's a plane crash? Instead of seeing that we could be standing at the airport cheering like crazy all day long for all the planes that didn't crash, right? But we don't. We find it tragic, and then we go and we support each other, and we begin to heal, and that's what the talking about it is. And I love that the Buddhists actually have a practice, a spiritual practice called Tonglen. And that's where you see someone else is suffering. And maybe you don't want to be in that space. Maybe you feel like you just want to put that bubble around you and feel good and happy all the time. But we don't relieve other people's suffering by doing that. The Buddhists say that if we step into that space and we breathe in their pain, that something, this divinity within us, has this amazing ability to transmute that pain into love. And that when we exhale, we thereby surround them with that love. We invigorate them with that positivity. But it isn't from running from what looks negative. It's in us learning to practice being courageous, learning to see that conflict in life. Well, there's some conflict in the world, right? It's our ability to learn that conflict is a resource. And so this week especially, hopefully all the signs will start coming down soon, and our phones will quit ringing from people we don't really care to talk to. Hopefully that, and that everybody will vote like they should. but hopefully what's going to happen is we're going to realize that the true ability to stand with somebody when they're not feeling comfortable is compassion. That is what we are, the way in which we are called to love one another. You know, Greg Braden, fabulous scientific, great name for a human being that is really focused on bringing spirituality and science together. Greg Braden says that it's coherent human emotion. When thinking, these are his words, when thinking, feeling and expressing are all in alignment, there is a chemical change in our body. And that chemical change has quantum effects that extend beyond our physical body and that bring changes into this physical world. Whew! You know, I mean, this is the stuff that the early metaphysicians at Ernest Holmes and Goldsmith and the Fillmores, this is all the stuff they all talked about and believed when they started seeing that there was a connection between the mind and physical healing in our lives. In repair, 100 years and plus and more. So what Greg Braden is talking about here is that we do not want to deny the power of the Holy Spirit. That's my short way of saying it. We do not want to deny that there's some kind of power that we are all in touch with, and it is that quickening, it is that truth, it is that vibration that we can align to, that we can harmonize with, and have not only a different experience in our living, but then there is an actual change that comes from us. Imagine that everywhere you walked, there was healing. We're connecting the inner world with the outer world, so we have found that intersection, as the Dalai Lama said, between the sacred and the secular. In those moments of perfect alignment, we are experiencing something that we don't actually see, but we can only experience. So something is going on physically, but then there's a shift that extends outward beyond us that becomes a holy moment for whoever encounters that shift while we're having it. A single encounter with spirit like that, that's what gives you the God bumps. You know, that's what that is. That is the very experience that can move you to tears when you're watching something on TV that just touches your soul. That is the same experience, that encounter with spirit is the same thing that raises your body temperature, that relaxes your muscles, that raises or lowers your heartbeat. It is very physical indeed. And in fact, we could imagine that a holy moment like that could heal an illness. I think there's healing. Every time we pray together on Sunday, somebody is healed. That is the kind of holy moment that can calm any angry rage if we could stand in that peace, in that beauty. That is the movement of Holy Spirit that can conquer addiction. It can save a marriage. It could stop a terrorist. We are powerful beings. And in this understanding of the good that unfolds in life, as we harmonize with that good, with that greater good, as we recognize there's a power and a presence that's greater than we are, and it is a power of good. So not only can those things happen, and we would consider it a miracle if we knew it, but those things do happen. We just aren't privy to it. How many times have we brushed elbows with something that would be incredible to know like that? But what we know is that it works, that there is this coherent the human emotion that is always active, that really does go beyond us. Where two or more are gathered, there too, we enliven that. So what is it that you want to enliven? It's the good. It's the potential for healing. It's the potential for being restored to our wholeness, to being able to view the life out in the world and not just see what's broken, but to see, to know, to be absolutely convinced that there are all kinds of things that the entire universe is conspiring to bless us. And our job is simply to open our hearts and our minds and to receive it. When we look in our own life to appreciate what is, to look for the things that we have in our life to be thankful for at any given moment, you can do this. That's when we recognize the marvels of life. The word miracle means to see again. You know, let's have our vision cleared and see in a deeper way. You know, there's a great story in the New Testament where the disciples ask Jesus, why was that baby born blind? Why was the baby born blind? Was it something the parents did? Or is it something that happened generations before this baby was born? And you know what Jesus said? Jesus' response was, you're missing the point. You're still trying to blame something outside of you. The valid question should not be, why do bad things happen? But how can we see more good? How can we bring more love to the planet? How can we be confident that there is that hand of God holding all of us sweetly, whether we recognize it or not? How can we leave here today and find ourselves in a position where we demonstrate to some other human being that we really care? It's not hard. All it takes is intention. Blessed, inspired, grateful, aware of those things. That is the way we move ourselves to a higher vibration. That is the way we are big for God. So do not follow the letter of the law. Do not look for creed. Do not look for perfect teachers. But follow the spirit of the law, because it is the spirit that gives life. You can feel that. You can convey that. And you can be that. Let's take a deep breath. And let's move into a place of prayer where we can anchor these words in this tremendous truth and be more clear than ever before the reality of these teachings and the presence of God in our life. If all the practitioners and ministers would rise and surround the sanctuary, please. Just take a nice deep breath. So much has been said. So much has been felt. As we turn within and pull our attention away from the outer effects of the world, we recognize that it's true. Right where we are, God is. There is a presence that is greater than we are. It is a presence of good. And we can use it, for there is only one mind. It is the mind of God, and that mind is my mind right now. I feel the love of God within me. Oh, and I know that as we notice that movement inside of us, that quickening, the God bumps that surface when we recognize the awe of life, when we are staggered by the bigness of spirit itself. And in that recognition, we are unified again with the fullness of oneness of spirit, the connection of life, the way we are connected to each other. And so we choose this day the vibration that we desire to put on that great web of life. We choose what it is we see and recognize and name as good. We choose vibrant health and vitality, and we allow ourselves to be filled even in this moment with the fullness of that knowing, of that conviction, that there is that within every cell of the human body that is perfect, whole, and complete. It is the DNA of God. And as we speak these powerful words, there is movement. As we stand in this powerful conviction, there is healing because we are restored. As we remember again, we are restored to our wholeness, and it is good. And it heals our relationships. It brings us to a place of feeling the gentleness of forgiving one another, of loving each other, of healing that which has appeared to be broken, but which is only the chaotic look of the universe that is trying to restore and adapt and bring to us the good that we desire. And so we just become vessels, even now, vessels to be filled. We know that the Holy Spirit itself is pouring out the grace of God, and we just allow ourselves to fill up with this goodness, to feel that life within us, to know that we are restored to our peace and to our ability to love and our ability to receive love as well. And so I say thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, life. Thank you, Infinite Spirit, for all of these blessings and for all the blessings that are yet to be revealed. We stand strong in our conviction, and we allow ourselves to feel that gratitude radiate through our bodies. And it is in this calm sense of knowing that it is already done beautifully and perfectly that we release the words of this prayer, and together we say, and so it is. Amen.